All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin our daf. Today is daf dalet. We begin from the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. So the Gemara says the following. V'itmar Allah. We have a lot to do today. 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. V'itmar Allah. So we'll say, remember again, we are trying to analyze the Braisa. And in the Braisa, we quoted the view of Rabbi, we quoted the statement, and the statement was, that a beitza shenol de b'yom tov is not going to be bottle. Or I should say, excuse me, I take that back. Suffolk beitza is not bottle. Is ultimately not going to be, well, not going to be bottle in a mixture. And we tried to figure out about that. What exactly is the case of suffolk beitza that won't be bottle? So the Gemara quoted the view of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir said, "Es shadar kolimnos mekadish," because ultimately something that is reckoned as individual units will not be bottle in a mixture. So the Gemara says, "Itmar lo." We learned about this. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, "Now we'll say machlokish Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about the position of Rabbi Meir." So Rabbi Yochanan said, "Amar es shadar kolimnos." Rabbi Yochanan said, "What does this refer to?" This refers to an item that is exclusively sold in individual units. So an item that is exclusively sold in individual units is never bottled in a mixture because it's chashuv. Reish Lakish said, "Kol shadar kol limnos shanim." Reish Lakish says, even something that's not exclusively sold as an individual unit, but ultimately again is sometimes sold as an individual unit, is also not bottle. So the Gemara says, so both say a fundamental machlokes in terms of, does it have to be an item that is exclusively sold as an individual unit, sometimes sold as an individual unit, which one of those items will not be bottle? So the Gemara says, honey, chareb shem and lakish. So again, I will say Rabbi Meir's position, or saying that the Braisa reflects the view of Rabbi Meir, that lamais an egg is not bottle, makes sense quite Reish Lakish, because an egg is something that is sometimes sold as an individual unit, but not always. Then it makes sense according to Reish Lakish's opinion, Rabbi Meir, that an egg wouldn't be bottle. El Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, an egg is not exclusively sold as an individual unit. What could be said? Amurah Papa, Hai Tana, Tana Delitra Ketziosu. So we'll say it's very interesting answer. The Gemara says the Tana of the Braisa above is the same Tana of the case of the Litra. We'll say Litra is a measurement of Ketzios. Ketzios are dried figs. Because this Tana holds that any item that is reckoned individually, that is a davar shevem minyan, which means it's individually significant, is not bottle. So the Gemara says v'chol shekein, excuse me, lo bottle, afilu b'drabanan, even midrabanan, v'chol shekein b'daraisa, even with a daraisa. This is the Tana says that even a drabanan is not bottle. Chol shekein a daraisa. What's the case? This now, we learned in the Mishnah. Litra, ketzios, if you have rabosai, a litra. Now this is talking about over here, litra is a measurement. So a litra of ketzios, a litra of dried figs that are truma, rabbinic truma. And what happens? Shadar sa'al pi eagle. Rabosai, the way you would deal with figs is how you take figs, you'd spread them out first to dry. And then after they dried, you would remove their stem. After you remove them stems, you would press them together like into cakes. And that's usually what we call the eagle shell devela, a cake of pressed figs. So now let's say you have this litra, you have this amount of truma figs. And what happens? Shadarsa al pi eagle. You pressed it into a round mold. The ene yodea be'eze eagle darsa. But you don't know which round mold you pressed into. So we'll say you have a whole bunch of round molds of pressed figs. One of them happens to be truma. You don't know which one is truma. So what do you do? Or darsa al pi chavis. Or, I'm sorry, Vino Devi's eagle, Darsa Pichavis, or for that matter, you pressed it into the mouth of a cask, Ve'in Yodea Be'ez Chavis, and you don't know which cask, which barrel you put it into, Darsa Pichuras, or Kaveris, you put it in a basket, and you don't know, Ve'in Yodea Be'ez Kaveris Darsa, and you don't know which basket you put it into. So, what's the halacha? So, we'll say, now you know you have a litra of truma figs. And you don't know which utensil it's in. So what do? Omer, so the Gemara says Rabbi Meir, Omer, Rabbi Lezer, Omer, Rabbi Meir says the following. Rabbi Meir is quoting Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Tap of Dalit, Ro'enes ha'alyonos kilein prudos, we view the upper layers as if they are separate, va'tachtonos ma'alos es ha'alyonos, and the bottom ones come and overtake the upper ones." So I will say, what does that mean? Rabbi Meir is essentially saying is, we view them as a mixture, we view them as the upper layers getting mixed in with the lower layers, and essentially what occurs, there's more permitted figs, bless you, than truma figs, and therefore again lemaisa the truma figs are batal. Okay, Rav Yeshua says es im yesh shamea pumin yalu ve'imlav hapumin asurin. Shemer says if there are 100 permitted pumin, pumin means mounts. The Rabbis say if there is 100-to-1 permitted ratio of permitted figs to truma figs, then the mice, so again, the figs will be bottle. And if not, then all of the figs will be usher. So the Gemara says, Ve'im lav, ha'pumin asurin, v'ashulayin mutarin. I will say again, remember, the one thing we do know in this case is that the figs, the literal figs, were placed at the mouth of the cask. Now, the good thing about figs is that figs, they're not going to mix themselves up. So we know that the prohibited figs are stationary. So what Rabbi Yoshua suggests is, if there's a 100-to-1 ratio from, meaning if there are 100 mouths of the utensils and one truma, so then the truma will be batal. If there's not, then the truma is not batal, which means again, the figs in the area of the mouth of all of the utensils will be asur, but the figs on the bottom will ultimately be permitted. Rabbi Huda says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im yesh sham meyapumin. So we'll say Rabbi Huda has a different version. Rabbi Huda says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, if there are, or it's just different names, I should say, if there are im yesh sham meyapumin yalu, if again lemaisa there are 100 times permitted figs and the prohibited figs are batal, the imlav and if not hapumin asur and the mouths are asur, v'ashulayim mutar but the figs on the bottom are mutar. Rabbi Yeshua says afilu yesh sham shlosh meos pumin yol lo yalu. So we'll say Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that even if there are 300 times more permitted figs, the figs are not bottle. In other words, according to Rabbi Yoshua, the prohibited figs are always prohibited, never become bottle. Darsa be'igol. Look at Rashi Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua, Omer afilim yisham, shlosh me'ofumin, v'kulim b'chlal ha'safek, ein ma'alin es ha'yachid, ho'elu pumi ha'kli, davar shi'ish ba'minyin hu, v'lo batli, v'afilu b'dirai ba'na, v'al darsa, so Rabbi Yoshua, listen to this. According to Rabbi Yoshua, because l'maisa, because again, the figs in the mouth of the utensil, are what's called a davar shebeminyan. They would be something that is sold individually. Therefore, lemaisa, they are never batal. Even in a ratio that 300-to-1 is a guzma, it's just an exaggeration. But no matter how large the permitted ratio, the figs will still not be permitted. The Gemara goes weiter. Adarsa be'igol, if you went ahead and you pressed the figs into a round mold, but you don't know into which round mold you went ahead and you placed it. The halacha is, everyone agrees that what? That the figs will be bottle. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? What do you mean everybody agrees? We just had a machlokis above that said not everybody agrees. Amra Papa, this is the case. Halchi kamar, darsa be'igol, ve'eni yodea be'ezo makom eagle darsa, ilit sefona, ilit roma, Divrei HaKol Yalu. Rabbi will say, oh, what's the case? The case is where, again, in the previous case, you had a litra. You introduced a fixed unit of the prohibited figs into the mixture. Here, what you have is you have a smaller amount of figs that are pressed into the actual mold itself. And lemaisa, you just don't know which part of the mold they were pressed into. You see, in the previous case, the prohibited figs occupied the entire top area of one of the utensils. You just don't know which utensil it is. Here, the figs were mixed into with other figs into the round mold, and you don't know which part of the mold the prohibited figs occupy. Are they in the north? Are they in the south? In that case, everyone agrees that it's batal. Look at Rashi. Here's the difference. That in this case over here, Rabosai, the prohibited figs are not recognizable as a separate, distinct entity. Hovio, excuse me, shari midubakos, because they're stuck together with other permitted figs. The eni yodeh heichani, and no one knows where the prohibited figs are. Ibit sefono shel igol obidromo, hovio bahashtalav basminyani, velo minkara divrei hakol yalut. So we'll say it's very interesting. In the first case, what did you have? You have a litra. Now, a litra apparently is, let's say, the equivalent of a cake of pressed figs itself. So you had a cake of pressed figs of rabbinic truma that was placed. That cake was placed on the mouth of the utensil. And what's the problem? You don't know which utensil it's in. Now I will say that's called the davar shebeminyan. Why? Because in the marketplace it would have been very common to do what? To buy the amount of figs that sat in the opening of the kli. Yes, there was. There was a. I don't know how you would. Whatever you'd call that. I'll take the mouth, a mouth's worth of figs. That's called, you know, the mouth of the kli's worth of figs. In that case, that's called the davar sheva minyan. That is an item ultimately, again, that is reckoned individually. Therefore, it's not batal. In this case over here, you have some amount of truma figs that are mixed in again with the rest of the mold, so they're stuck to other permitted figs. Because of that, because it's a mixture, therefore the prohibited figs are not called the davar sheva minyan. They're not called something that's reckoned individually, and because of that, they are batal in the mixture. Ravashi says the following: the olam, in reality, the olam safek yom tov safek chol. So we'll say now we're going back for just a moment. Look at Rashi. Ravashi Amar the Olam. Hadik Tani Usveka Asar Safek Yom Tov Safek Chol Kamar. So we'll say, listen to this. So now remember, we're now talking in the Braisa. We were leaving Beis Hillel alone for a while, and we're talking in the Braisa. And in the Braisa, we had a case of the egg, Safek egg. Safek egg. And what did the Braisa say? That a Safek egg is Asar. Now we'll say, remember again, we had a machlokes. We don't know what the Safek case is. So is it Safek Yom Tov, Safek Yom Yom Tov, or remember the last suggestion we had was what? Safek Trefa. Maybe the Safek is if the egg is from a Trefa. And Rav Ashi says no. The Olam Safek Yom Tov, Safek Chol. Habi. Reality, the case of the Braisa is a case of where we're not sure, was the egg born on Yom Tov or was it born during the week? And therefore, again, Habi Darash Heish Lamatirin, the Chol Darash Heish Lamatirin, Afilu B'Travanon, Lo Bot. And I will say, therefore, Rav Ashi says like this, the Safek of the case of the Mishnah, of the Braisa, excuse me, is I'm not sure, was the egg born on Yom Tov or the egg not born on Yom Tov? And what did the Braisa say? The Braisa said, if this egg gets mixed in a mixture, that it is not bottle. Why? Because also we said this already before. Bittle is a halachic mechanism to remedy doubts. When there is another mechanism that will remedy doubt, you don't rely on bittle. Therefore, I will say, if something calls a davar sheyesh lo matirin, which means something that will become permitted, we don't rely on bittle to resolve the doubt. Rather, what do? We rely on time. So because, again, this egg, I will say, one thing is for sure. I don't know if it was born on Yom Tov or not. Therefore, it's a suffix. One thing is for sure, which is I wait till after Yom Tov. What's the halacha? The egg is permitted. Therefore, if the egg gets mixed in, even with 1,000 other permitted eggs, we're not going to rely on bittle. Instead, what we'll say is we'll have resolution of doubt tomorrow. Tanya, achirim, the achirim say, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Beitza tochal, hi ve'ima. So we'll say again, the achirim say that the egg may be eaten together with its mother. Rashi says over here, Beitza tochal imnol dubiyomta. So we'll say, now we have another braisa. And in this braisa, the achirim say in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that when the beitza shenol dubiyomta, you can eat the egg and you can eat the mother. So the Gemara says, my asking on what's the case? Ilema betarnagolis, haoma that's the god, excuse me, lachila. If you want to see what we're doing with the chicken, that is set aside for consumption, then pshita. That's, excuse me. Thank you. Pshita, that's obvious. That's obvious that you could eat the egg and you could eat the chicken, because it will say it's set aside for consumption. However, pshita divi mashayo. But rather, if we're talking about a chicken that is set aside for eggs, hivi imasura. How can you say that it and its mother are permitted? It will be asur. Why? Because it was said, because the pashas is muktzah. Remember, if a chicken is set aside for laying eggs, then the pashas, it was set aside for non-use on Yom Tov. You have no intention of slaughtering it. Therefore, again, the mother as well as the chicken should be asur. Amar abzera tochal agav ima. So abzera says, oh, what's the case? The case is that it can be eaten agav ima, literally on the back of or together with its mother. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Agav ima im ochlenes ima hayom aphi. That apparently, again, what the Gemara is saying is, if you end up eating the chicken that day, you could eat its eggs also. What's the pshat? Hechi domi. This is very interesting. Amar Abaye kegon shalak chastam. What's this interesting case? Right? I'm out in the marketplace on Erev Yom Tov, and what happens? I come home, I buy myself a chicken. Right? Why? The price was right. I bought a chicken. And what? And I didn't decide. I didn't decide for what purpose I was buying this chicken. Was I buying it for eggs? Was I buying it to slaughter? And therefore what? So that's what we call lachastam. I bought it without any explicit intent. Therefore, nishchita, if I shechted the chicken on Yom Tov, chuvrara de la'achila omedes. So I'll say, what happens? If I shecht the chicken on Yom Tov, then what is that show? I will say a little bit of a breira. Remember, what is breira? Breira is retroactive clarification. So if I shecht the chicken on Yom Tov, then what does that show? It shows retroactively my intent when I purchased it was for shechita purposes. If that's the case, Rabosai, then if it's a tarin and golis ha'omedes la'achila, if it's a chicken that's going to be used for consumption, then what? Then in Achinami, everybody will agree that both the chicken as well as the egg will be permitted. Losh nishchata, if I did not shecht it on Yom Tov, then what? Hovrera delegadel beitz momedes. Then it becomes clear that what was the point of the purchase? It was to be a chicken that was going to lay eggs, and therefore, again, the chicken is mukta, and the eggs are mukta. Rav Mari says, no, guzma katani. When the Braisa said that you could eat the chicken, the chicken and even its mother, the Mishnah, the Braisa was employing some degree of hyperbole. Disanya, we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, guzma katani. Sometimes a person wants to make a point. Medaber yeser. A person speaks a little bit in exaggerated terms. And in reality, this is a chicken that is really set aside for consumption. So we'll say, in reality, we're not talking about the mother over here. The Bryce is quoting an opinion that argues on Beis. Remember, Beis Hillel in the Mishnah says that Beit HaShinol de B'yom Tov is going to be Aser. Again, we had four different reasons as to why Beis Hillel holds that. The Gemara now is quoting a Braisa that argues on Beis Hillel, and the Tana who's arguing on Beis Hillel is trying to make such a strong point that he says, not only can you eat the egg, but what? You could even eat the mother. Now, is he talking about the mother? No. Rather, he's getting a little bit carried away. He's trying to make a point, so he becomes a little bit emphatic. Says he could even eat the mother. So he gives an example of this. Disanya, we learned in a Braisa, Achirim Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Beitza Tochal, Hi V'ima. Rabbi Eliezer says the egg can be eaten together with its mother. Ve'efroch uklipaso. Similarly, you can eat a chick. You can eat a chick even together with its shell. So the Gemara says, my klipaso, what do you mean with its shell? Ilema klipa, even ilema klipa, klipa, excuse me, ilema klipa mamish, if you say you can literally eat the shell, klipa basachilahi, can you able to eat the shell? Ela efroach biklipaso. But in reality, again, he must be talking about, again, the efroach, the chick, even together with its shell. So we'll say, again, employing some degree of hyperbole. Ad kan lo pligi rabban alei drabi eliezer ben Yaakov. I'm just going to read this now. We're not going to explain this now because we're going to see this machlokes tomorrow. This has to do with, can you eat a chick? Let's say you crack open an egg and there's a chick there. Can you eat the chick or not? So this is going to be machlokes shavaleis and the Rabbanon. Again, we'll see it in tomorrow's daf. Right now, the Gemara is only quoting it because it falls into the hyperbole discussion. So ad kanu pligi Rabbanon alei drabi eliezer ben Yaakov. El heichad yatzila avir ha'olam. Until the Rabbanon only arguing Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, when literally the chick has come into the air of the world. But when the chick has not actually come into the world, there's no argument. Rather, Rabbi said, when Rabbi Eliezer says that you can eat the chick together with its shell, what is that? That's hyperbole. So to over here, Rabbi Eliezer said that you can eat the chick and its mother. Then it's also hyperbole, meaning we don't care about the mother, we care about the egg. So I'm sorry, when we say that you can eat the egg and its mother, that's also hyperbole, rather you just talk about the egg. So also what comes out is, Rabbi Eliezer is arguing on Beis Hillel. And whereas Beis Hillel says that Beis HaShinol Dov Yom Tov cannot be eaten, the point is that there are other opinions besides Beis Shammai who agree that it can be eaten. Itman, we'll say another case. Shabbos v'Yom Tov. We'll say it's a very interesting case. Let's say you have a case of Shabbos and Yom Tov that fall out one next to each other. Now, it doesn't matter the order. It doesn't matter if it's Shabbos, then Yom Tov, or Yom Tov, then Shabbos. But the point is, you have these two juxtaposed events of Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Rav Amar, Nol de Bezu Asura Bezat. So we'll say, what happens if you have an egg born on one of these days? So you have two consecutive days of Kiddusha. So Rav says, if the egg was born on, let's say, Shabbos, it is still aser on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yochanan says, Nol de bezeh, muteres bezeh. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, if it was born on one day, if you can't eat it on that day, but it is muter the next day. So we'll say, what's the machlokes? Neimar kasava Rav kidusha achasi. Perhaps Rav says why would the egg that's born on Shabbos be aser on Yom Tov? Because perhaps the kedusha of Shabbos and Yom Tov is one kedusha. Rabbi said, now we've seen this already, because remember, Rabbi, when he espoused his position of Hachana, linked Yom Tov and Shabbos together. So perhaps Yom Tov and Shabbos are really what we call one kedusha, one protracted period of kedusha. Granted, they're different halachic days, and they have different halachos, but when they fall in consecutive in succession, they're considered to be one protracted period of Kiddusha. If that's the case, then the egg that was born on one of these days will be Aser on the other day. Now the Gemara says, but how could that be? V'ha'amarav, halacha ka'arba'a zekenim. Karbal Kizikanim, Va'aliba Rabbi Eliezer, Damar Shtei Kedusha Sain. Rabbi said, Rav said, the halacha follows the four elders, and like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that there are two Kedushas, Rabbi said, this is actually referring over here to in the Rashi calls the Gemara Maseches Eruvin by Eruv Tchumin. If I want to make two different Eruv Tchumins for two different directions on two different days, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, I can do that. I can do that. Now, why can I do that, Rabbi? The only way you can do that is if how? Is if you hold it as two Kedushos. Is if you hold that it's two separate days. Therefore, again, I can have an Erev going in one direction for one day. But if I, again, if I hold that it's one Kiddusha, then Lamaisa, the Erev I make for one day has to make for both days. So here you see Rav explicitly saying that you can make two Eruvim, which would seem to indicate that, well, that Lamaisa, again, it's Shtei Kiddushos. Elohocha b'hachona d'rabba kamifligi. Rather, Rav said the machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is whether or not they subscribe to the position of hachona d'rabba. We're both say, what's Hachana Durabba? It's going to be very important. What's Hachana Durabba? What's Hachana Durabba? We're starting at 4:30 tomorrow. Right? Hachana Durabba is that Rabba holds that, again, any food on Yom Tov must be prepared from a Yom Chol. Right? Any food for Shabbos Yom Tov, vehechinu v'hayo b'yom ha'shishi, vehechinu es asher yaviyu. Rabba holds that l'mais, again, Shabbos and Yom Tov food must be prepared from a weekday. That's why, again, if you remember, again, Rabba holds that in the case of Shabbos and Yom Tov that follow on one each other, a beitza that's known to be Yom Tov is also why? Because the beitza was finished on Shabbos, and again, it was hachana on Shabbos. So now the Gemara is suggesting over here that the machlokis Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is whether or not they subscribe to hachana de Rabba. Rav is the Hachana de Rabba. So Rav holds this concept. Therefore, Rav also in the case of Shabbos and Yom Tov, one after the other. So the Ma'is of an egg is born on Yom Tov. That means it was prepared when? On Shabbos. And that's Usur. Because Rav also, again, according to Rabba, you must be able to positively identify your food sources on Yom Chol, which would be in this case on Erev Shabbos. Because the Beitza was nolda on Yom Tov, therefore it's prepared on Shabbos, therefore it's Usur. Therefore, Rav holds of Rabba, Rabbi Yochanan, let's say Hachana de Rabba, and apparently Rabbi Yochanan does not subscribe to this idea. So because of that, Rabbi Yochanan does not require that food be prepared on a Yom Chol, or that you'll be able to identify the food on a Yom Chol. Therefore, Lamaisa, again, even if the egg, again, everybody's going to roast it, both Rav and Rabbi Yochanan will agree that let's say when the egg is laid on Shabbos, you can't use it. But Rabbi Yochanan will say by the next day it already becomes permitted. Rabbi will say it does not. Ki tanoi, the Gemara says, machlokes tanoim. Nolda b'Shabbos tocha b'yom tov tocha b'Shabbos. So we'll say again, we have a brisa that says, if the egg was born on Shabbos, and again, this is the case, same case of Shabbos and Yom Tov that are occurring back to back. So if it was born on Shabbos, he kidded on Yom Tov, or Yom Tov, he kidded on Shabbos. Rabbi Hud Omer Meshum Rabbi Eliezer, Adayin hi machlokes. And Rabbi Hud says, name Rabbi Eliezer, it is still a machlokes. Shebeisham, Beisham, I say, tochal. Beisham, I say, you can eat it. Ubeisilo omrim lo tochal. And Beisilo say, you may not eat. So Rabbi say, what this price introduces us to us is the following. That not only is the machlokes Beisham, Beisilo in the case of Beitza Shnol de Yom Tov, but the machlokes Beisham, Beisilo is a case of Shabbos Yom Tov as well. That when you have these 2 days that fall back to back, when you have an egg that is born on the first day, what is its status on the second day? And the Gemara is suggesting that this will still be a case, otherwise it will still be a machlokes b'shamay in the second case as well. What do you do with the egg on the egg was laid on the first day? What do you do in the egg with the second day? Will still be same machlokes b'shamay and b'sil. And the Gemara is suggesting over here that this machlokes that originated as machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan really becomes a machlokes as to whether or not you subscribe to the concept of hachana d'rabba. So the Gemara tells a story. So what happened? The Ushbezichne Rabosai means the host. Rav Adabar Ava was staying in an inn or was staying at somebody's house. And what happens? His host had these eggs. These eggs, Yom Tov l'Shabbos. Rabosai, so the eggs, it's now Friday's Yom Tov. Friday's Yom Tov, we're going to go from Yom Tov into Shabbos. And the eggs were laid on Yom Tov, on Friday. So what happens? Also l'kame. So now the Balabas comes to Rav Adabar Ava and he says to him, my la'at vinhu ha'idna v'nichlinhu l'machar. Can I roast the eggs today, but not eat them until tomorrow? So meaning, the Balabas realized, I can't eat the eggs today, because it was based on Shnol de Biyom Tov. What was he asking? Can I prepare them today? So, because again, obviously, they'll be permitted tomorrow, I think. They'll be permitted tomorrow on Shabbos, but obviously I can't prepare them on Shabbos. So can I prepare them today and eat them tomorrow? And they're both saying, what he's really asking is what? I know that you can't eat the egg today on Yom Tov. What is he asking? Is the egg muktzah? Can I handle the egg today? Amrli my daitech. So Rav Adbar Abba says, you know, what's your thought process? Rav Rabbi Yochanan, halachik Rabbi Yochanan. When you have machlokes from Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan, which means what? Rabosai, that Rabbi Yochanan says, no dabazeh muteres bazeh. That when the egg was born, let's say on Yom Tov, and Yom Tov falls right before Shabbos on Friday, that it's permitted on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, afid Rabbi Yochanan lo kashari elu legoma lemachar. Even Rabbi Yochanan agrees what? Literally, legoma means to swallow. Rabbi Yochanan says, yes, the egg becomes permitted on the second day. But what doesn't Rabbi Yochanan allow for? Rabbi Yochanan doesn't allow for the handling of the egg on the first day. Meaning, so even Rabbi Yochanan says the egg becomes permitted on the second day, will agree that you may not handle the egg on day one. And therefore, the answer essentially is no. You may not go ahead and roast it today because you can't handle that egg today. Obviously, then the only options you'll have for usage on Shabbos is what? Yeah. Is you could swallow it raw. You could swallow it raw. You know, you could drink the egg if you want. But I guess apparently at a point in time, some people did.
You
can
open it?
I'm sorry, you could open it. You could open it.
A lot of people still eat raw eggs.
I'm sorry?
A lot of people still eat raw eggs.
Good, okay.
Good.
Good, okay. Besides Rocky, I don't know who's doing it. Ari told me that one. I didn't know the one on my own. Ari whispered it to me. Okay, so the girl goes right to Vatanya. So we learned. Vatanya, we learned in a braisa. Achaz beitza, excuse me, aval biomelo, Vatanya. Achaz beitza shnoldo v'shabis. But we learned, because now we'll say this Vahatanya is not a question. Often Vahatanya is the way we phrase the question. This Vahatanya is a proof to the idea that Beitza Shnol de B'Yom Tov may not be handled, because we learned in a Braisa, Achas Beitza Shnol de B'Shabbos, Achas Beitza Shnol de B'Yom Tov, whether the egg was born on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, Ein Metaltlin Osa, you may not move it. You can't use it as a bottle stopper. You can't use it to support your bed. So therefore, Rav Adbar Abba tells the Baal Habos, I'm sorry, the egg will be permitted for you on Shabbos, but you may not roast it today. Another story. So again, Rav Papa is also, either whether it's his host or just stomach guy. So a guy comes to ask Rav Papa a question, and he says, what? I have these eggs, Hanach Beit Shabbos Yom Tov. I have these eggs that were born on Shabbos. Shabbos Yom Tov. If you take a look at Rashi Rabosai, so he says over here, I'm sorry, but let's just read. Hanach Beit Shabbos Yom Tov. Asa Lekamei. Amrle Mahu Lemichlinhu Lemachar. So what happened? So Rabbi said this was a case of Shabbos and Shabbos falling Shabbos and then Yom Tov on Sunday. So the Baal Habos comes to Rav Papa and he says to Rav Papa, you know, again, the eggs were just laid today. I know I can't eat them today. Can I eat them tomorrow? Can I eat them on Yom Tov? Okay. Amrle Zil Ha'idna Vita Lemachar. Do me a favor. Come back later on. Right? Leave now and come back tomorrow. Dirav Lomoki Amora Iluya Miyamatavala Chavre Mishum Shichros. Because Rabbi say Rav would often not go ahead. Literally means Rav would not establish an Amora. Rav would not establish an Amora for himself on Yom Tov because of drunkenness. Rabbi say the Tanoim, when they would give a shir, often did not go. They would state the information, and the Amora would then package the information in a way that was fit for public consumption. So on Yom Tov, Rav would not have his Amora by his side. What that means is that Rav would not teach halacha on Yom Tov. Why not? Because of shichros. Because Rabbi say again, on Yom Tov, people have meals. During meals, again, people drink. And after one drinks, one is not supposed to paskin halacha. So therefore, again, apparently, Rav Papa is saying to this guy, look at Rashi for just a moment, Rav lo moki amora iluya, lo haya ma'amin mitor gaman lepiv, lefan of lidrosh, drosh l'rabim, miyoma tava l'chavre, kilomar misha asa hayom tov, dahaynu la'achro suda ad l'machar, mishum shichros. So we'll say in halacha l'mayis, so Rav would never go ahead and give half his amora, but he wouldn't give shir on Yom Tov. Why? Because Lamaisa, again, there was drinking going on, and where there is drinking, one should not pass an halacha. So our papa tells the guy, do me a favor, come back tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. I had a little bit to drink. Come back tomorrow, I'll tell you the halacha. So what happens? So the Gemara says the following. Ki asa lamacha, when he came back the next day, amrlei. So our papa responded to him, Eichu hashta ishtaloi. Literally, had I gone ahead and paskin for you yesterday, this shichrusi, while I was a little bit under the influence, Ishtaloi, I would have made a mistake with my ruling. Why? What's the halacha? V'amri lecha Rabbi Yochanan, halach Rabbi Yochanan. And I would have told you the simple halachic principle that when there's a machlok yisrael from Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan. I'll say, what does Rabbi Yochanan say? What does Rabbi Yochanan say? That beitz, that when you have Shabbos v'yom tov, beitz ha-shenol de-bezu, muterles bezu. So had you come to me yesterday after I had a couple of lechaims in me, and after I was involved in Simchas Yom Tov, I would have told you, still my reflexive answer would have been, you want to know the egg was born on Shabbos, can you eat it on Yom Tov? I would have told you, of course you can, because halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan. But now that I had a little bit of time to think about this, ha'amar Rava, Hilchasa kavase dirav bahani tlas, being the kula being the chumra. But Rava said, then I remember another teaching of Rava, and Rava said that the halacha follows Rav in three cases, lakula, whether that were in lakula and lakumra, meaning follows Rav both leniently and stringently. And Rava said, we will see these three cases, but again, look at Rashi. Hilchasa kavase dirav Shamarlinian Beitz Azumi Shabbos V'yomto. So we'll say one of the three cases. We'll see the other two in tomorrow's daf actually. But one of the three cases in which he paskin like Rav is this case of Shabbos V'yomto. Rav says Nolda Bezu Asura Bezu. So here you have Rav Papa saying again, had you come to me yesterday, I would have reflexively paskined like Rabbi Yochanan, because normally in all the rest of Shas, in Gan Shas, we are machlok yisrael and Rabbi Yochanan, the halach follows Rabbi Yochanan, except in this case. There are three cases where he paskin like Rav, and this is one of the cases. Therefore, again, Beit Sashinol the Bezu, Asura Bezu, says Rabbi Yochanan. You know, we'll say, we have, just to tell you also, I have not done any halach l'maisa purposely, because we really have to finish this sugya. Once we finish the sugya, Beit Sashinolda, we'll go back and we'll do all of these halachas. But again, at least right now you have Rav Papa saying that the halacha in fact follows Rav in this case, and therefore Nol Bezu Asura Bezu. Am Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say again, that's the end of that case. So now we'll say, so it ends off. What ends off is the case of Shabbos V'yom Tov. We end off with Machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav says Nol Bezu Asura Bezu. Rabbi Yochanan says Nol Bezu Muteres Bezu. And then we've seen two lemaisa cases that were paskin on differently, right? We had the first case again of Ush Bezichne to Rav Adabar Abba. So Rav Adabar Abba again told his balabos that the halacha follows Rav. And then we had Rav Papa telling his balabos, Rav Adabar Abba paskin like Rav Yochanan. And then we had Rav Papa telling his balabos that the halacha follows Rav. And Rav Papa telling his balabas that although normally the halachic principle is machlok yisrael and Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan, except in three cases, and this is one of these three. Fine. The Gemara goes weiter. Am Rabbi Yochanan, eitim shnoshel min adekel b'Shabbos. So we'll say, let's say you have wood that fell off a palm tree on Shabbos. So we'll say again, there's another case of Shabbos to Yom Tov, right? So again, this is Shabbos and Yom Tov is falling out on Sunday. So you have wood that fell off the palm tree on Shabbos. Asra la'asikim b'Yom Tov. You may not use that wood to fire up your stove on Yom Tov. You can't use it. Okay? So the Gemara says, why? Va'al tishiveinu, va'al tishiveini, beitza. And don't bring me the rai of beitza. So I will say again, remember, Rabbi Yochanan is the opinion who says, Nol de bezu, muteres bezu. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, I know what you're thinking. So remember again, wood falls off the tree on Shabbos. Now obviously when the wood falls off the tree on Shabbos, what's the status of that wood? It's mukta, right? Now it's mukta because the truth is it serves no purpose. First of all, it was mechuber, it was attached, it serves no purpose. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, don't tell me that I, Rabbi Yochanan, contradicting yourself because you said by the case of the egg, nol de bezu, muteres bezu. So too you should see over here, Nishru bezu muteras bezu. The wood fell off the tree on Shabbos v'motran yom.
The egg is ready the day before.
I'm sorry.
The egg is ready the day before.
Already. It's already there. Right. It's already there. Oh, so good. That's true. Also, it's already in its readily usable form. It's true. It's true. The keys are similar. Mitchila Chanan is saying. But the truth is, he says like this. I'll tell you another reason. My time of beitza. Mishum de biyoma. Which truth is Chanan? This is really. You're right. My time of beitza. What's the reason for eggs? Mishum de biyoma namichazi legoma. Here's the chap. When it comes to the egg, technically speaking, that egg is usable on Shabbos. I will say, what does it mean that egg is usable on Shabbos? L'maisa, again, technically, you could use it. How can you use it? You break it open, you give it to Julian, he's going to drink it, right? Right. So again, meaning technically speaking, that egg is consumable. It's consumable. The fact that you don't consume it on Shabbos indicates what? Why aren't you consuming it? Because it's mukta. It's clear, meaning the fact that you could use it, but you can't use it. The fact that you could use it, but not that you can't, but you don't use it, indicates that lemaisa, it was usher yesterday. It was usher on Shabbos. Therefore, again, when you come to use it on Yom Tov, it's clear that you're using it today, but it was prohibited the day before. However, itzim delo chazal yomayu, but again, the wood itself, which I both said the previous day, was not fit for anything. Why wasn't it fit for anything? What is wood used for?
Burning.
Right? Burning. You can't use it on Shabbos. Why? Because the Maaseh will say you can't kindle a fire. So therefore, Yisharilu lemachar, if you want to permit, if you permit it on the next day, Yom Tov, Asi lemeimar biyomayhu nam Yishari, people will say that it was really permitted the day before as well. Ve'etmo mishum Shabbosu tolochazu lahasaka. And the only reason no one used it yesterday is because what were you going to use it for? So it's a fascinating shikul. So Rabbi Yochanan says like this. Rabbi Yochanan says, the reason why I hold by the egg, that if it was nolad b'Shabbos that you could use it on Yom Tov, is because the egg was in existence already on Shabbos, and it was already fit for use. Technically speaking, a person could eat it raw. There's a possible usage. But yet what? Nobody does. What does that show? What does that show? It shows that the egg is usher today. Therefore, when you eat it the next day, the fact that we allow it to touch on the next day in no way erodes the fact that everyone knows that it was permitted, prohibited the day before. But if we allow you to use the wood that fell on Shabbos on Yom Tov, what's going to happen? People are going to assume that the reason you didn't use it on Shabbos was why? Was why? Because what are you going to use it for? Because the Maaseh, again, it's not fit for use because you can't. The only thing it's fit for use, the only thing it's fit to be used for is burning. You can't burn it on Shabbos. That's why nobody used it. But were the Eitzim themselves Muktza? No, they're not Muktza. And what reinforces that? The fact that I could use it on Yom Tov. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, in order to reinforce the fact that the wood itself is Muktza on Shabbos, says Rabbi Yochanan, I prohibit its usage even on Yom Tov. So Rabbi Yochanan says the cases really are dissimilar. Amar Rav Masna, Eitzim Shnat Shomina Dekel L'soch HaTam. Rav Masna, it's a very interesting case, but Yom Tov, this is even a more interesting case. What happens? Let's say this is on Yom Tov, this is not on Shabbos. Wood falls off from my palm tree, mamish right into my stove. Into my stove. Right? Amazing, right? Amazing. Right? So the wood mamish falls off from my, right? Correct. The stoves are outside. Correct. I'll say again, this is not. It's not like coming through your window somehow. It's like nice over here. Again, people often had their stoves outside. And also, don't think about the stove you have in your house. Like, this stove is the wrong word. It's an oven. It's an oven. It's a kira, right? So again, remember, I'll say, what's a kira, right? A Talmudic kira. I'll say is a pit with wood and a metal object on top of it. I'm sorry. Correct. So nice. Again, so what happens? So now the wood falls from my palm tree directly into my fire on Yom Tov. So what happens? So that Ramasna says, Mar ba'alei eitzim muchanim umasikan. You know what you do? You just add in additional permit. And I both said the problem over there is what? The problem over there is that wood started Yom Tov how? Attached to the tree. So because of that, again, it was not set aside for firewood. Because it was not set aside for firewood, it really can't be used. But what's the problem? It's already in my fire. So what do I do in that case? So Rav Masna seems to suggest it's okay. Just add in additional permitted wood and masikan and fire up the fire like that. But how can you do that? You're going to be actively manipulating prohibited wood. To which the Gemara says, to which the Gemara answers, no, you don't understand. When we say put additional permitted wood, what are we saying? Is create a majority of permitted wood, and therefore what happens? The prohibited wood becomes bottle. It's bottle in a mixture of a majority. One second, but how can you do that? You're essentially advising me now to intentionally introduce additional permitted wood to proactively create a situation of bittul. Is that permitted? Utnan, we learned, Ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. Rabosa, you cannot go ahead and be mevatel iser intentionally. Rabosa, understand what this can do. Right? What this can do is, you know what? I really, you know, my chicken soup really requires just a smidgen of milk. That's part of the recipe. But it's not a problem. I'm going to intentionally introduce a little bit of milk, but it's okay. Why? Because there's definitely much more chicken soup. You can't do that. Bittul is a mechanism that only works ex post facto. You cannot intentionally create the situation of bittul. But it seems to hear that the halacha is telling me to intentionally create the situation of bittul. The prohibited wood falls in. No problem. Just introduce more permitted wood. To which the Gemara says, no. When are you not permitted to create to proactively create a situation of bittul. That's in biblical matters. However, when it comes to rabbinic matters, mevatlin. So Rabbi Sa'in Achinam is very interesting. Seems to be that it's only mid-da'oraisa that you can't be mevatl l'chatchila. Mid-da'abonon you can. Ulravashi the Amr called Davashesh Lamatirin if you live with Rabbanon Lo Batil Ma'ikilamar. I, and according to Ravashi, you said that Rabbi said Davashesh Lamatirin, something that will become permitted, is not even Batil with Rabbanon. What is there to say in this case? Rabbi said, you remember. So in this case, you should say the wood that fell from the palm tree is a Davashesh Lamatirin. When will it become mutter? Right after Yom Tov. So therefore, it shouldn't be Batil at all, even if you introduce additional wood. Oh, Hani Mili Hechadi Sili Surah Be'ene. When do we say that a Davashesh Lamatirin is not Batil? That's when the item remains in existence. Hacha mikli kali isura. Rabbi said, but here what's going to happen? Rabbi said, the wood very quickly burns up. So because of that, it's not going to remain in existence. Because it's not going to remain in existence, that allows for bittul to occur. Okay. So we'll say, next case, itmar. So we'll say, again, it's just, so again, just so you understand, that happens to be, I mean, we'll cover this later, but that happens to be halacha lemaisa, that with dirabonons, especially dirabanans that will quickly disintegrate, you are permitted to create the case of bitul chatchila in order to negate a prohibited substance. So the Gemara goes weiter. Itmar shnei yamim tovim. He'll say just one more minute, and then we'll have to stop. So what happens again? You have two yamim tovim. Shnei yamim tovim shal galios. We'll say now we're going to get into the very interesting sugya of yom tov sheni shal galios. Very interesting sugya. So what happens? Itmar shnei yamim tovim shal galios. Rav amar nolda bazeh mutares bazeh. Rav says that an egg that is born on one day, first day of Yom Tov, is permitted its second day Yom Tov. Rav Asi says, no de bezeh asura bezeh. Rav Asi says, that which is born on day one is going to be asur on day two. Lema kasava Rav Asi, so also what's the machlokas? It must be that Rav Asi holds kidusha achos. So Rav says again, if it's born on the first day, permitted on the second day. Ravasi says no, born on the first day, asur on the second day. Why? The Rav says it would appear because Ravasi must hold kiddusha achas. Ravasi must hold that the 2 days of Yom Tov have one protracted period of simcha. So the Gemara says, is that true? V'har Ravasi mavdil miyom atav lechavrei. Rav says Ravasi used to make havdalah from one day of Yom Tov to the next. I will say, now what this means is apparently Rav Asi would actually make Havdalah in between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni. So I will say, Rashi says over here, Umevarech hamavdu bin kodesh l'chol, dikasavar kimlon bekviya diyarcha, the Yom Tov Sheni chol gomerhu, Mishum Minagav says, we'll see why he did this. Rav Asi felt that we are proficient with the calendar. We know when Yom Tov is. We only keep the second day because Minagav Asena Biyadeno, it's the Minag of our forefathers, and therefore he would literally make Havdalah. He would observe the second day, but he would also make Havdalah between the first day and the second. To which the Gemara says, oh, it's okay. He leveraged his bets, right? He leveraged his risk. Va'avit hachaluchumra. Rav Asi went l'chumra both ways. So he went l'chumra and then he made havdalah between the first days because it's quite possible that the second day is really chol. But at the same time, he also had l'chumra that maybe the 2 days have one kiddusha and therefore what? And therefore the ma'isa beitza shnol de bezeh will be asura bezeh. So we'll say, we'll stop over here. Again, tomorrow morning we pick up with a really fat, this is the sugya of Yom Tov Sheni Shal Golios, which is a really fascinating sugya. So Mir Hashem tomorrow.
So you wouldn't be able to take chicken or
no? No. Again, that's only, remember, the case over here is where the tree fell in. You still can't do it. Not allowed in the chatchila. You can't create the situation.
What does it mean when it said that? If that's only where it's
arising. If it happened, then you could add in. But you can't create the situation.
The case of the fire is with the
other, right? No. The wood fell in by itself. The mixture happened. Okay, once the mixture happened, then you can go ahead and add in additional wood. But you can't create the mixture.
If then you could add more whatever.
Technically, I would say the
soup. What's it say that it's a, like by the case of the village.